Hey everybody, in this episode of Box Office Breakdown, Vin Diesel lives a quarter of a mile at the box office. Fast and Furious took top slot again. We're going to break it all down next.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Box Office Breakdown.
Hey everybody, welcome to Box Office Breakdown here on Popcorn Talk. Of course, this is a show that looks back at the box office that was, and then we like to
prognosticate. I was just laughing in the chat room. Guys, yep. We're just prepping. That's why, you know, our start time fluctuates a little.
That's right. It just felt so good to have you say that, because being gone last week,
I know. Did you survive?
It was a sad day.
Didn't Neil say it for you?
Neil.
Oh, no.
Neil just mocked me.
I'm so sorry.
We participated about the box office that lay ahead. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My sweet 285 followers would love to have you amongst them. At Happy Go Jackie.
And what's up, guys? My name is Carrie Lane. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
Going strong. Over 1,200 people.
You know, I'm trying. And yes, guys, sorry I was gone last week. I was at the Indian Film Festival of Los Angeles covering that as press. And so I'm glad to be back, but it was a fun festival.
And they had a cool photo booth. She had to throw on petals and stuff.
They're like, that confetti, was cool. Yeah.
Confetti, that was cool.
It's on my Instagram.
Loved it. It was very cool.
I think I put it on Twitter, too.
And as always, the third person that makes us just sound and look so great, we've got Neil in the booth.
What is going on, movie watchers?
And Neil, where can they find you, sir?
Yeah, you can find me everywhere where there's a Twitter or a YouTube, I guess, or a whatever, at the Neil Plumley. That is TheNeilPlumley.
I love it. Music to my ears. And as always, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and of course, hop in the chat. We've got the chat app running. I know you folks are actively in there, just welcoming Carrie back. Look at that.
I was going to say, quick update. So there's two things. One, I was just talking with the director of the horror film that I was the AD on, and that one they just finished the main cut. Now they're working on visual effects. So I'm not in it, but I worked on it. And I was a lot behind the scenes. Like, you don't realize how much you got to do until you're doing it. Not that they couldn't handle it, but, you know, it's a lot. That's called Followed. And then I did see a film that I don't think I talked about in here. But I'm in a horror film called The Dark Tapes. And it's a teeny tiny part. By the end, like, I had lines in another scene, totally got cut. But that one is coming to a few online sources and such. So look for The Dark Tapes. I'm in – it's like a horror anthology, so there's a bunch of little vignettes. So I'm in an anthology of webcam people. I'm not a webcam person, but I'm watching someone who is.
Ooh, so. Being a voyeur.
Yes, I'm the one female in the room voyeuring this one other woman.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Oh, look at
you.
So
they're like, oh, there's a girl in the room. And I'm like, oh, great. That's all right. Because you're there and they're telling you what to do, but you don't know what it is. But it came out cool. Like, they have, like, the girl who's being watched, and then, like, the different people watching her of, like, framing it. Oh. And so I'm one of those people. So if you watch it, that's me.
Oh, look at that.
Well, yeah.
Caroline, just making it happen. Check it out. So, folks, we're going to break down our top five at the box office. And, of course, last week's box office bet was the only film that was coming out this week was The Fate of the Furious. So we had to get a big bet on there.
How close were you?
I did 140. Neil went even stronger, went 150.
Wow.
At least domestically, we way overshot the mark. I know. Came in at $100 million. Just a hair over that from Universal. Still,
I was going to say it's still good. Most other recent box office numbers are not that high.
No, and you got to think, this is the 8th film in a series. And certainly the 7th film had the death of Paul Walker and how that was going to be addressed. So that's going to bring even more attention to it. So I think Universal is aware that, 8th is not going to pull in the numbers of 7 just because it doesn't have that kind of same situation about it. But still, who's going to complain about the 8th film in a series still opening up at least $100 million domestically?
I think that's
internationally, it did. Yeah. Blockbuster numbers there. So, so that came in. So, Neil, did you go see The Fate of the Furious?
I absolutely did, Frank. And let me tell you, I liked it.
Yay!
I thought it was a good movie, probably because my expectations were low, and also probably because the 7th one was just awful. But this movie, the characters' motivations made sense. The action was tight. We actually had some racing in it. which felt really good. Felt like, especially the whole opening part is just in Havana, and they're just, it's an honest to God street race, and I loved it. And yeah, it got a little bit ridiculous at the end, but Charlize Theron was a great villain.
Okay.
I feel like she brought the stakes up to a very good level so that everyone could be their ridiculous characters and it would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, as much as it can,
because
they're trying to match her intensity.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a great time. I thought it was a fun movie.
It was a good film, not a great film. I the things that you liked about it, Neil, at least I felt I had a lot of issues with some of the stuff, and certainly especially Jason Statham's character, what they did with him just seemed really like a really big turn from the way everything was left in the last film. But there are two more films in the series, so maybe they're going to explain why certain things happened, because that just seemed so odd. And I felt like it was also ahead of a lot of the twists there. I was ahead of those twists. So when they, at the end, where they kind of like, no, this is what really happened, and this is what really happened, I was like, yeah, that's exactly what I knew was going to happen.
Well, Tanya in the chat says, yay, Neil, I liked it a lot, too.
Yes, Tanya and I had a lot of big conversations that she was kind of mainlining all the Fast and Furious films in preparation for The Fate of the Furious.
So. East Blue Drew, it was an awesome movie, and I like Albin's point, a Fast and Furious movie getting ridiculous at the end, say it isn't so, I know, right? Well, I think they might be referring to you. CA1987 thinks we got a hater.
You're not a hater. No, I love the franchise.
No.
This one was just, you know, I felt like they were going, this one just wasn't as good as I was hoping it was going to be.
I agree with Sky Patterson. The franchise is just always crazy ridiculous. I haven't seen the seventh, but I recently marathoned 1 through 6. I bought that as a box set because 7 wasn't part of it yet. But I enjoyed all of them, actually. They're all fun in their own way. I actually felt 2 was one of the weaker ones, and I actually like Tokyo Drift, even though that gets a lot of criticism. I'm like, well, it's different characters, so that kind of throws you off a little bit. But overall, it's a fun movie. But 2, I think there's some pacing and directorial change that I didn't really like. But overall, they're all fun action movies. If anybody takes them seriously, it's like, come on. It's like watching the trailer. You know what you're getting. I don't know why people get surprised. It's like, you watch the trailer, right?
Yeah.
This is one where, like, this is what you got what you came for.
Neil, did you miss having Paul Walker in the mix?
Yeah.
Do you feel like
Scott
Eastwood is a fine substitute for Paul Walker?
Well, I don't think they're ever trying to, like, sub Paul Walker. Obviously they're trying to, like, fill the gap that he left. And they filled it with a completely different character, which I thought was wildly appropriate. If they try to make Scott Eastwood, like, a Brian character, that would have fallen way too flat. Because there's, like, zero relationship between him and anybody there. And that was, like, the whole point of Brian, right? He was, like, of the group, he was probably the level-headed one. Kept everyone, you know, from doing something crazy. And this kid ended up being, like, sort of, like, the comic relief because of how fresh he was. I like how they just sort of doubled down on that. They're like, yeah, here's the new guy, and he's really new. So get ready for him to just not understand what we do here.
Would you rather have had, instead of having like a Scott Eastwood character, they would have taken Lucas Black and brought him along? He was the Tokyo Drift guy.
Right. I keep waiting for them to just sort of like make him part of the group.
Yeah.
I feel like at least for like one part, like they come across a problem that they like, they can't get into this certain area. And then Vin just like calls him up. I know a guy. And then, like, they call him up, and he comes in. They're like, oh, who's this idiot? And like, oh, yeah, we go back to Tokyo. Like, that's where I met this kid. And then he comes in and drifts the balls off of something. And, like, and then just leaves. Like, that's his one part to play in the movie. I would love that.
That would have been cool.
I would absolutely love that.
He never comes back in the franchise, right?
He comes back in 7, briefly.
Yeah, oh, I didn't see 7
there was
yet,
sort of,
so,
like,
yeah,
a catch-up part in 7.
Yeah.
Where they bring it all around to what happened in Tokyo.
Got it. Okay.
And so he's in there for that. But
I do want a line in the next film saying, we need to drift the balls off of this. Who can we get? Just for that line, Neil. I would love that.
Love it. Love it.
All right.
Hashtag started.
That's right.
Oh, East Blue Drew and CA1987. Nobody likes Tokyo. No, it's actually not that bad. If you rewatch it, I mean, it's one of those that's totally different. But it's actually really fun, you know? It's one that's, it changes the pace. I agree that it is a little bit like, whoa, wait, different characters, different vibe. But it was still cool within the whole world that's been built.
Yeah. No, that is for sure.
And it has other cool characters that fit in later. So,
well, if I remember correctly, Tokyo Drift almost killed the franchise. And to get the fourth one made, Vin Diesel had to leverage his house because the studio didn't want it.
Oh.
And then after the success of Fast and Furious, they went on and did Fast 5, which was also a very decent installment in the series. And then it just went from there to become one of the largest franchises in cinematic history.
I feel like 5 is when it really just kind of clicked in. You put The Rock in there as somebody that was kind of chasing them down. I feel like that right here had all the components of it to make a really fun film. And they've kind of carried that through the rest of them to various degrees of success. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this one, it's not my least favorite in the series, but it's still, I always felt like I was kind of going on an upward trajectory, and now I feel like, okay, I kind of dipped a little bit. So. Okay. But they're also kind of resetting a new trilogy with 8, 9, and 10. So,
sure.
You know, this is kind of you're kind of setting all the pieces in place with 8. We'll see what 9 and 10 do to kind of close it out. All right, coming in at number 2, though, The Boss Baby from Fox,
still
another $15.5 million.
Okay, that's just kind of a crazy drop. That number 1 is $100 million, and number 2 is 15.
Yeah. It's like, I mean,
nothing in the 20s or 30s. It's like, no. And...
I think everybody knew that Fate of the Furious was going to just crush. Yes. So everybody just stood well away from that weekend. Number 3, Beauty and the Beast, $13.6 million.
Still holding on.
Yeah. Number 4, we had The Smurfs, The Lost Village, another 6.5. That's another big drop from 13 to 6.5. And then finally, number 5, Going in Style. Another 6.3.
Pretty close to Smurfs.
Yeah. It's... Yeah, I still don't want to see that movie, though. I'll have to wait. That would definitely have to come to my home and also prop open my eyeballs.
Uh-huh.
But it was like put toothpicks underneath my eyelids. Like, you will watch this movie.
We'll do it together, Frank.
All right.
We'll get little pedicure baths for our feet. We'll just put cucumber scrub on our face and we'll watch it together.
That would be... I cannot think of a better way to spend a day. That sounds amazing, Neil.
That sounds so fun.
I can't
wait. Boys, go have fun.
Now, internationally, though, we're talking about that. Even though domestically did a little less than what people were predicting at the box office, they were kind of estimating around 110 for that. But internationally, though, it is a shot off to a record $432.3 million debut at the international box office. Now, you couple that with the domestic's $100 million launch, and the worldwide debut is $532.5 million. The biggest global opening for a film ever.
Well...
There you
really?
Go.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Fate of the Furious was in 63 territories this weekend and bested both Jurassic World's record offshore debut at 316.7 and with North America, Star Wars The Force Awakens, $529 million worldwide bow.
That was brought up in the shell, too. I was reading two things. Sorry. One, it was brought up in the chat that it beat Star Wars. And then Emmanuel says Ghost in the Shell is out of here.
Yeah. See you later.
Yep. Bumped.
Yeah.
Let me just comment on these international numbers for a second because this is insane.
Yeah.
It bested the second highest one by about 100 million?
Yeah.
That is unbelievable. Like, I knew that, and I'm sure, Frank, I'm sure that you speculated also that this would do better internationally than it did domestically because it has a wide appeal internationally. But I did not see this coming. These numbers are, they barely even make sense. The only reason that The Force Awakens is so close to its opening, its global opening weekend, is because it made $250 million domestically when The Force Awakens was released.
Yeah, but you also think about like Star Wars Force Awakens, there's like an appetite for that because it had been so long since you saw a continuation of the series from Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you saw the prequels, but this is the first time you got to see a new storyline kind of progressing everything.
Yeah.
Fate of the Furious, that's the 8th installment that's been around like pretty much every 2 years. There's been another one around. So to have the 8th one just crush so hugely at the international box office is incredible.
It's unbelievable.
I think it's Muhammta, biggest opening ever because it's a great movie. All right.
Your mileage may vary on that, but there you go.
I've heard both. Like from my friends, I've had friends absolutely love it. Oh my gosh, they're like, go see it right now. And then other people are like, it's okay. Other ones don't take it too seriously, so it's kind of a doesn't seem completely one way or the other.
Yeah, I like as I said, I just have some kind of character issues with that. I'm certainly willing to let them see what like Chris Morgan has in mind for scripts 9 and 10. Mm. That maybe might address some of those, and then maybe it may make me look back on 8 a little differently. Mm-hmm. Now, as a clear number one in all markets where he opened this weekend, Fate of the Furious dusted a bunch of records. It is the biggest opening weekend of all time in 17 markets, the top Universal debut in 21, and the biggest Fast and Furious franchise start in 32 markets. Mm. Now, basically, they're thinking about the Fate of the Furious original projections were thinking about $300 million overseas, with some as high as $400 million. But it was always going to be hinging kind of on the Middle Kingdom, kind of like the Asian markets there. Mm. And now Fast 7, or there was the Furious 7. There you go. Mm-hmm. Currently holds the record as the number one import at $391.3 million. And it'd be foolish to bet against Fate of the Furious going to that ballpark when the dust settles. Now, local buzz is strong, and there's nothing coming up that looks like it's going to run it off the road anytime soon.
I love all your puns.
There you go.
They are awesome.
Now, also, Fate of the Furious, it crushes the box office, but there are other still films in the marketplace as well. Logan, the X-Men spinoff featuring Hugh Jackman, just hit another milestone today, crossing the $600 million worldwide mark.
Ooh.
Beauty and the Beast crossed $1 billion earlier this week, is now at $1.043 billion, and has become the 22nd highest grossing movie of all time, topping Zootopia, Finding Dory, and Jurassic Park. And Lionsgate just finished its best calendar quarter ever that didn't include a Hunger Games or Twilight film with $755.6 million at the worldwide box office. Mm-hmm. It's basically a breakdown of 364.1 domestic and 391.5 internationally. Basically lifted up by La La Land and John Wick Chapter 2.
East Blue Drew makes a good point that, you know, it's a franchise that we've all been watching for a long time, if you've been watching them all, so it's a good point. Desmond Johnson, we're acting as if $100 million isn't that big of a deal, but not many movies are $100 million, and it's the eighth. No, it's big. I think the thing is, maybe people are expecting, well, you went higher. You both of you went higher.
I honestly thought it was going to be, and then I was reading over there, they were predicting 110, and then it came down at 100, but still, yeah. As we're saying,
still like, good for eighth in a franchise.
Yeah. There's absolutely nobody that would turn away these numbers. It's only the eighth movie and you get $100 million. Boo hoo. Yeah.
Plenty of other franchises, the second or third get like maybe 20.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, certainly the table is set for 9 and 10 to really clean up.
Yep.
And I feel like 10, the way they do, I feel like the series does a really good job of marketing itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they decide with the 10th film that it's going to be kind of a definitive conclusion to the series, that one is going to do gangbusters. If they feel like they're going to be kind of reaching an ending.
If it actually is.
You know, if it keeps making these kind of numbers, like it's tough.
But I felt like Fast and Furious, it never felt necessarily like throughout the franchise that it was like, it's going to be 8 of them. Like, I think when I saw one, you're like, cool. Oh, we get a second? Great. Oh, there's going to be a third? Oh, there's somebody getting 4? Well, we get another 5. Like, I just felt like they kept coming along, which is good. But I'd be like, really? 10's going to be the end? You sure? Sure?
Well, Vin Diesel said that he wants to stop at 10.
Okay.
However, with these numbers, I think they're going to pause at 10.
Mm.
I wouldn't be surprised if after the 10th one comes out, they wait about 8 years and they don't rehash the series, but they bring it back from sort of where it left off with maybe a Dominic Toretto being like an older sort of like a director sort of character in whatever they're doing.
Mm.
Or maybe like a new team starting up and they're like, we can't do this without the guidance of Dominic Toretto. Then they have to hunt him down and find him or something like that. But he would be more like an older character that would just advise them or whatever.
Yeah,
because if you look at Harry Potter, I mean, that franchise crushed at the box office. And then the series was done because, you know, the books were done as well. But then you feel like Warner Brothers, as well as, you know, whatever they do. I mean, that's a property that if you could keep finding ways to continue that, you would. And so now they have Fantastic Beasts, which opens up a whole new set of films for them to be able to do. I can't imagine Universal is not going to at least try to do the best they can to tempt Vin and make anybody else or The Rock or something to continue this past if it's still cranking in these kind of numbers.
Absolutely, that's just like, agree. Yep.
Why would you let that kind of money just sit on the table?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially since Disney has so many franchises. Warner Brothers has the entire DC slate.
Mm-hmm.
Universal has Jurassic World, and it has the Fast franchise. Those are the biggest ones it has, and those are two of the biggest franchises in the world right now.
Yeah, and like we talked a little about this last week, if the monster universe does not really take off for them, they definitely, I feel like, are going to really make a play to keep this one going in some kind of shape or form.
Yep.
All right, so, ladies and gentlemen, that was a look at our international numbers, but now we got to start looking ahead. We're going to look back at what's coming up this weekend. We've got some fine films for your consideration for our box office bet, including Born in China, a documentary from Buena Vista. Lots of pandas and stuff like that in there.
There's other animals, too.
No, it's only pandas. That's it.
There's more than just pandas. Because it's all the other animals and how they're the family and the little monkey and the faces.
Oh, boy.
So cute. Oh, boy.
We also have The Promise with Poe Dameron. Oscar Isaacs. I should keep calling him Poe Dameron. From Open Road Films, a little drama there. And then we have Unforgettable. This looks like a bonkers film with Rosario Dawson and Katherine Heigl from Warner Brothers.
It just seems so, like, cliche-y.
It looks awful.
So white girl versus the black girl, and which guy is he going to be with? It just was like, what?
I have to be honest. Rosario Dawson, I feel like, still a draw at the box office. Katherine Heigl?
Not as much now.
No. I there is nothing about this. Like, how did she get this?
It just looks cheesy.
I can't imagine she's bringing really anybody into the theaters to go see this.
I saw the trailer and I'm like, wait, why? Why did Rosario agree to that movie?
Yeah.
She's doing better stuff.
No, for sure.
Go back to Daredevil.
Yeah. I don't know why she's doing this. I can see why Katherine Heigl, if somebody's going to offer a movie role, she's going to grab at it.
Yeah.
But I get so interested when I see Katherine Heigl in this.
Right.
But anyway, folks.
And it's so hard watching it from just the trailer. I'm like, Katherine Heigl's character seems like such a bitch that I can't associate with her that I'm like, I clearly want him with Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
She seems cool and chill, and you seem crazy. There's no debate on who I want the guy to be with. So,
is there any, even if they hadn't gone that over the top in the trailer, can you imagine any reality where you're going to be siding with Katherine Heigl over Rosario Dawson?
No.
I can't imagine that myself. So those are the films in contention for the box office bet. So folks, feel free to start chiming away in there in the box in the chat. I saw Albin was in there, so Albin, I'll look to you to kind of keep a running tally of what the people are voting on. Again, that's going to be Born in China, The Promise, and Unforgettable.
East Blue Drew. It looks like that Beyonce movie. Yes. Obsessed.
Yeah.
Which I saw. Okay.
Was that good?
Watch it as a comedy, and it's fantastic.
I feel like this is the only way to watch this one.
I watched it as a comedy with my friend because I was like, okay, this is going to be so over the top. But we watched this comedy. It was actually rather entertaining.
Oh, man. All right.
But it's just so, like, and not discredit the people in it. It's just the basic concept. You're just like, what? And so it's just so over the top that it's very comedic.
Great.
I wouldn't take it serious.
Coming up here, before we do our official running of box office bet, our top five pick, we'd like to do a little box office rewind and look at somebody that's going to be in one of the upcoming films this week. Look back at some of their opening box office films there to kind of see how they rank. And I decided we're talking about Rosario Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we take a look at her? Now, of course, her number one film is the Lego Batman movie. So we're going to, since that's just a vocal animator, a vocal performance, we're going to just ixnay that. We're just going to focus on live action performances. Mm-hmm. So these are her top five non-Batman Lego box office movies. Coming at number five, we've got Zookeeper from Sony back in 2011. $20 million.
I did see that. It's okay.
Yeah, I did not see
it. It wasn't my kind of humor. It's Kevin James, yeah?
Oh,
I don't think he's funny.
I do not. Like Paul Blart Mall Cop?
Yeah.
No desire to see those films.
But Zookeeper had moments, and like they have a scene that was kind of funny in the movie, but overall it's like, meh.
Oh man, yeah. I can't do it.
Yep.
And as much as I enjoy, well, at least early Adam Sandler, this later Adam Sandler, like with Grown Ups and stuff like that, and now he's moved over to Netflix more, doing more stuff. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just can't see him and Kevin James hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
Coming to number five, Unstoppable, or excuse me, number four, Unstoppable from Fox back in 2010. $22.6 million. That's the Runaway Train with Denzel Washington and Chris Pine.
That was actually pretty good. Like at first, I was like, but then watching it, I'm like, no, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's a fine. You know, it doesn't break any new ground, but it's just like a solidly made little kind of action thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Eagle Eye from Paramount and DreamWorks, picking it out in 2008, $29.1 million. That's one with Shia LaBeouf and Michelle Moynihan.
Yeah, I didn't catch that one.
And Billy Bob Thornton. That's like where they have that computer that becomes sentient, almost like that, like Cyberdyne Industries. There you go.
I did not catch that one.
Based on the old. Number two, Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, back in 2010, $31.2 million. I never saw any of the Percy Jackson films.
That's the first one, right? Lightning Thief is the first one, I think. I saw the first one. I really liked it. It was very fun. It's very YA fiction kind of style, but I enjoyed that. I didn't catch the second one, but I have it on DVD. It's just
all right. Power fun. Power rank these. So you've got Hunger Games, Percy Jackson, Maze Runner, and the Insurgent series.
Yes. Divergent.
What would you? Yeah. How would you rank those?
Oof. Well, technically, Percy Jackson's almost different though because they got superpowers because they're children of gods. So that makes it a little different category almost because it's not supernatural, but it's different. I'd say Hunger Games, Divergent, and Maze Runner are more similar in terms of young people in perilous situation trying to survive. Percy Jackson is more finding yourself. It's not quite the same.
Okay.
And I like them all, but they're different. It's funny. I read all of them except Percy Jackson, and I watched them. Hunger Games is really cool, book and movie I liked. Divergent series, I like book and movie. And what else do we say?
Maze Runner,
I like book and movie. And then I like Percy Jackson, but I didn't read that book. But they're just different. It's one of those, if you like them, you're going to watch the other ones too, probably.
All right. I still have Maze Runner on my DVR. I still got to watch that.
So Maze Runner, I don't know if you haven't read the books, how amazing it was. That was bad pun. it's a really cool movie. I like the second one as well, but I like post-apocalyptic movies. The book, they changed a bit of things, but it was still enjoyable.
All right.
And then Divergent, I still have to read and see the third one.
And I guess whatever they're gonna do with, like, are they gonna finish this Divergent? I think I was like maybe going to TV to finish it out.
Yeah, I think they did it and it just didn't do well.
And then of course number one for Rosario Dawson, we've got Men in Black 2, 2002 from Sony, $52.1 million.
I did like the second one. I didn't like it as much as the first, of course, but I still liked it.
I feel like if I had to rank it, I'd probably do 1, 3, 2. I actually like third because of the introduction to time travel.
Sure.
And Josh Brolin playing young Tommy Lee Jones. I really like that.
He did a good job.
Yeah, I like that more than I like 2. So.
Yeah.
I feel like we never picked up on Rosario Dawson's character in 3. So.
No.
Yeah. All right. Before we get going on doing our box office look ahead for this coming weekend, we also had a Star Wars Celebration happen in Orlando this weekend.
I have Darth Vader socks on right now. I'm not Star Wars Celebration, obviously, but I've got my Darth Vader socks
on.
They
are repping, you know? Even at this far distance.
Yes. There is, I retweeted a thing of it. There was a group of cosplayers who recreated a scene from the movie. So good.
That was nicely done. Funny. I did enjoy that.
It's like, at first I'm like, what? Oh, I get it. It's so good. It's so creative and funny. You know?
No, that was a good deal. And I do like, as it would pan back to the Darth Vader, and he's just kind of walking through like this.
Oh, when they get through the door, they're like, it's locked.
Yeah.
No, that's really good. I was going to say, not Star Wars, but last week, and I don't know when you guys are going to see it, when it's available, but Indian Film Festival, some of the films I saw that I really liked it. Most likely the big films, the opening and closing night, would be more accessible. First one, opening night, was Lipstick Under My Burqa, which is currently banned in India because it is too lady-centered, quote-unquote, by the censor board, which just means it'd be a rated R movie here with stuff that we're not that surprised by. Is really good. I thought it was interesting. And then the closing night film was Hotel Salvation, which was really good. And I also saw a film called Sexy Durga, and it was just very strange. And I saw a documentary called An Indian Accent, and that one was a really, really short about them doing a symphony kind of concert number, but incorporating their drum, the tabla, and it's actually really kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
So I don't know if these movies, they're coming to Netflix eventually, because I know a lot of films that have been there in the past are now on Netflix now, and they're really kind of cool.
Oh, very good.
So it's cool when festival films come to Netflix, because then you're like, oh, cool, I see stuff from around the world and, you know, other more not mainstream Hollywood stuff. Because I know we've all talked about, like, you know, super boring or Hollywood repeating stuff. Film festivals are the way to go to catch other stuff.
Now, hopping back to Star Wars Celebration. Yes. Of course, the big thing is they released the first kind of teaser trailer for the new film of Star Wars, The Last Jedi, coming out in December. Did you see the trailer?
I did watch the trailer.
What did you think?
I liked it. I don't think it gives you too much, though, which is good. I mean, to be honest, I'm going to go see it anyway, so. I didn't watch the full version of it, but someone did it, and I might not have retweeted it, but someone did the opening, the last movie trailer and this one together and played them, and they're very similar, like foils to each other.
But they just kind of, I need to go watch it again because I just didn't get a chance to hear much of Luke Skywalker's vocals. I didn't get to hear everything that he was saying.
I watched my friend's reaction video to it, and that was fun because they're really into Star Wars. So I'm like, I'll watch your reaction to it. The other trailer too that I watched I'm like, oh my gosh, this one. Did you watch the new Thor trailer?
Yes,
that one looks fun.
That looks it's amazing. Cool.
We know each other.
Oh. Man, I was already looking forward to this, but then seeing this just solidified my... Yeah. I'm more excited about this than Guardians.
Guardians only wins for me because of Baby Groot. I want a Baby Groot.
Man, but it's just like, I've been wanting to see... Like, I feel like this is going to be finally like the first Thor film that's really going to just...
Rock and roll? Yes. Yeah.
I'm with you, Frank.
Yeah, and the fact that we get the Hulk, too. And if we get the Hulk actually talking in this, man, that's...
You're just like...
Yes,
it's literally Planet Hulk.
It is when he comes out and he smashes out in that costume.
It's 100% Planet Hulk. They just put Thor in it. Is basically what they did, and that's one of my favorite Marvel storylines. And apparently, you guys might be interested in this. I did hear that they are working towards World War Hulk.
Oh, okay.
Which would be really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Because it is interesting to think like how much the Hulk popped from the first Avengers film. People loved him there, but it's been several years since we've got to see him really
do something.
Yeah, yeah, so I think audiences are going to be both him and Thor. They've been kind of after since Avengers Age of Ultron. They've both been kind of off the canvas. So I think definitely there's going to be a lot of interest in seeing these two and where it's going to take him. And from what I've heard, this is very much like Captain America: Winter Soldier, where it kind of changes everything in terms of the Marvel Universe. So I'm excited to see what kind of revelations they have in terms of that, and of course Jeff Goldblum as the collector or the Grandmaster.
I was gonna say, I'm like,
no collector. That's Benicio del Toro. Yeah, yes, Grandmaster. Man, it's just everything.
Talking about a horror movie, but found footage, new horror movie. But side note, I was gonna say that Followed, the movie I worked on, is a found footage horror movie, but I like that they took it in a different direction. See, that's the thing, guys. If you're ever doing, like, remakes and things, or new style, just change it up, and that makes it different. Because that one is more like it's a YouTube vlogger documenting the process. Which I'm like, I don't think we've seen many, if any, of those. So, that's cool for me.
I feel like the found footage one, you've got to really just cross your T's and dot your I's with everything to make sure the logic is completely sound within it.
Yep.
Because for me, always with the found footage one, my biggest thing going into it is I always wonder, who got this footage, and why did they cut it together and decided to release it as a concept?
Well, this one is like, it's YouTube. They put the videos on YouTube. They're being edited as it's happening. Like, they're talking about, they're editing live. It's maybe only some of the final footage that you kind of go, but I think he does it, they might have done it like it's live, you know.
We'll do it live.
Yeah. Like us. We're here live.
Oh, man.
But you might be watching this later, which is cool.
We also, one last thing about the Star Wars poster for The Last Jedi.
Oh, the poster looks good.
Yes, a nice different look than a lot of the other entries in the series, which I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still, if I had my way, the only thing that I would have loved about that poster is if they would have had Drew Struzan do the artwork for it. Because I'm such a sucker for his stuff. If they would have given him a chance to draw that teaser, I would have loved that. That would have made it perfect.
Yeah.
And real quick, to plug one of our other shows.
Yeah.
Jedi Alliance.
Yes.
On Popcorn Talk.
Yep.
Had a really good show today about Celebration, and they covered a lot of things, and she had a lot of opinions. So if you guys want to check that out, you can find it. It is Jedi Alliance Podcast.
Nice. Oh, look at you. Do you, Neil Eiffel, do you ever promote us to other shows?
I promote you to everyone I see on the street while I'm walking around at all times. I called my uncle the other day, my estranged uncle who lives in Alaska. And I told him to go onto YouTube, and he asked me what that was. And then I told him that he would need to have an internet connection of some kind. It was a long conversation, but eventually I had him just write it down. And then I drank some whiskey because it was frustrating.
Well, speaking of that, I actually did tell a friend today. He's like, what show? We had dinner and catching up. Because, back when we did Houdini and Doyle, I did the board game thing. I got the game today, so my copy of it. And he was like, what show do you have tonight? I'm like, it's box office breakdown. We talk about when movies come out. He's like, I need to watch that because I've been wanting to get up to date on, like, when movies come out. I'm like, gotta watch our show.
That's right.
We talk about movies, what's coming out, and movies in general. It's all good.
Oh, yes. Join us, won't you?
Yeah. Tell your friends, guys. Get your friends to come join.
There you go. And then also have whiskey on hand as well, too, in case those conversations don't go well.
Wynonna Earp, we did whiskey for our finale, which we might do that for our premiere when that happens in June.
Are you a whiskey drinker?
We had I had a snake bite apple whiskey that was actually pretty good.
Mm. I just imagine me just going, smooth.
Well, we did whiskeys and donuts. Because that's a thing on that show.
Did you dunk them in the whiskey?
No, we just, you know.
Yeah. I feel like the sweetness of having a donut would not cut the edge
of
that
whiskey. It
definitely
helps, yeah.
But I guess you should just dunk it next time.
Watch our Wynonna Earp podcast. It's on Netflix, guys. Ugh. Catch up. It's a good show.
I got to check that out.
It's a good show. It's like Supernatural meets Buffy-ish.
With guns.
And a Western. Yeah.
How can you go wrong? I love Westerns, so.
Yep.
All right, mm-hmm. Carrie Lane, fine.
Oh, King Arthur. Yeah, King Arthur's coming out, which I am kind of excited about that one.
There was a new trailer for that one. I went to go see Fate of the Furious. I saw the new King Arthur trailer in there.
Excited?
I there's something about, like, Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
Like, just visually,
I do like
his
movies.
The way that he kind of tells a story. I mean, and, you know, I feel like the Sherlock Holmes films, and just enjoy them for what they are. They're good, but I'm jazzed. I'm always a sucker for the King Arthur legend anyway, so I'm actually ready to dig this. So, I mean, I know, Alvin, you're saying that it's doomed, but
because it's between Guardians and Alien Covenant. It's a different kind of movie for sure, because it's like sci-fi, fantasy-ish. King, I mean, it's not fantasy because there's no fantastical animals, but still, I would call that like medieval.
Well, it's got some huge elephants
Alien
in there.
Alien Covenant, I'm going to wait a while because there are things in that trailer that just piss me off.
Really?
Stupid. Yeah, they're walking on a planet without their hazmat suits and stuff. You send out your probe first, it's just done. They're all supposedly scientist kind of people. Stupid.
Now, Alvin brings up there in the chat, for King Arthur, it should have come out this week or next week where there's no
Fair
big
enough.
Blockbusters coming out. I agree with you on that one, Alvin. Yes,
that's a good
I feel like... May, those early weeks of May, there's too much good stuff coming out. It is very top heavy.
But I wonder how much in advance you really can plan that. But like, do they all call each other? So when's your movie coming out?
Well, Marvel's announced through Avengers Infinity War Part 2, whatever they're calling it. So you know those dates. I mean, they had a big presentation. Okay. So you know where Marvel's lying. And pretty much that first...
Actually, another trailer. I think that's a good question for you, and I would talk about that too.
Oh, yes, Tanya asking there. Frank, would you go see the new It movie? I will go check it out. Yes.
Yeah, I think the trailer looks really good. Baywatch, that looks... entertaining. Yeah. They're actually doing a thing at LA Live next weekend of having people do a slow-mo marathon. So if you're in the Los Angeles area, they're just having people come out and they're doing a slow-mo marathon.
Great. That's the only thing I need
LA Live.
Is to make a marathon last longer is to do it in slow motion.
Well, they're going to do it really short. Like The Rock has a thing that's going on Facebook and he's like, join us for the slow-mo marathon.
Oh,
so funny.
Oh, man.
But I think that's awesome. I have work, but I would have gone.
But I do like the idea with it. It'll be interesting to kind of, they're kind of splitting it up. The idea, they do the second film
yes, as adults. Yes, I like that idea.
So it's a kind of a nice kind of distinction between the two time periods. Hopefully this first film does well enough to warrant the second film.
I think the style of how they're doing the clown looks so good and it actually looks really creepy. Because me, I'm like, clowns, whatever, no big deal. But I'm like, no, there's some good scenes in that trailer that I'm like... It's a little creepy and unnerving.
I feel bad for Georgie because watching that trailer where he cracks himself on the barricade as he's following his little paper boat down
and then
which I thought was just a nice little startled there in the trailer. And then you're then you got to go to Pennywise. Sorry, buddy. Mm-hmm. We all float down here. Float down here.
Oh, dude, just how that kid says it is creepy and then it coming out of the water. I was like, that's actually really good. And the projector thing, too. That was cool change,
I thought
too.
That was nice, too. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, that's a neat way to update it. You know, you're not It's, again, it's just like doing a cover of a song. You either need to be exactly the same or you need to be different enough because we're going to compare you to the original.
Very true.
They changed up a little bit.
Anyway. All right. So as we're getting closer towards the end of the show, we should do our little look of what we think the next week's box office will look like there. Where we've got, of course, we got Born in China, The Promise, Unforgettable, adding into the mix. I don't think any of these are going to have any chance of toppling The Fate of the Furious.
No.
But it will be curious to see how much of a dip The Fate of the Furious takes in its second week. Can you see Boss Baby, Beauty and the Beast, any of those holding up over? I could easily see Boss Baby doing better than Unforgettable.
Yes.
Unforgettable has got the biggest release at 2,350 screens. The Promise is at 2,000. Born in China is at 1,500. I don't think I see any of those topping going to number two.
Not really.
Neil, do you see any of those kind of jumping up that high in the box office next week?
Maybe.
Really?
What was Boss Baby doing this week? Like 15?
15.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might drop down to like, what, like maybe 7?
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe,
so that's true.
If
they got 10, they would win.
If it's anything, it's probably going to be Phoenix Forgotten, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the most buzz and most ads for that one. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It could make like a cool 9 mil.
But I also feel like Phoenix Forgotten is only in 1,500 screens. I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if it's going to do, has a big enough release to jump it up that high. All right. I don't think Fast and Furious is going to take number one. I think Unforgettable is going to, no, that would be ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure you were kidding, but yeah. I was like, whoa.
Fate of the Furious, that's a one and done. Yeah. You know, ugh, there you go. I don't even know if it's going to make the top five next week.
Well, Alvin in the chat said Boss Baby was hilarious.
Okay, Alvin. all right, so I will go Fate of the Furious.
Go for it.
Man, I feel like the one that's got the... Oh, it's going to be terrible. I'm gonna go Boss Baby still number two. I'll put... Unforgettable. Unforgettable, Beauty mm-hmm. and the Beast. I could see maybe the Phoenix Forgotten coming in at number four. I think it could do better than Smurfs did.
Yeah.
And then I think the Smurfs will be number five. I'll do that.
Oh gosh!
I'm not low.
Fast and the Furious, Fate Furious. Maybe Boss Baby will hold two, and just to be crazy, let's put Unforgettable at three.
All right.
I think that's what you said, though.
Yeah.
All right, three, and then four. Let's do Phoenix Forgotten, and five. Beauty and the Beast.
Wow. All right.
Sure.
Neil, you got a hot pick?
Whew.
I don't think any of us have hot picks.
No.
This weekend.
We're all like, oh.
This is garbage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doing this.
This feels like we're talking like mid-January or mid-September for these films. Yeah. It's like, ugh.
I think Fast will probably drop about 40%.
Okay.
I think there'll probably be a lot of ads on TV this week being like, this is the number one movie ever. And people might go out and see more of it, but who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Frank, you made some good arguments. I think I am going to go Boss Baby, and then I don't know, Beauty.
All right.
Unforgettable and Phoenix.
Love it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, real quickly, we're going to do our box office bet. Of course, as always, we take a bet on one of the films that you choose there in the chat room. The person that's closest will get to have bragging rights to the prognosticator of prognosticators. The loser will have to go see that film in the theater and tell us all about it. So looking there in the chat, it seemed like Unforgettable. Alvin, if you correct me if I'm wrong, that seemed to be the one that seemed to be getting the biggest traction there in the chat. which is fantastic. That movie is going to make me sad to go see.
Aww.
Alvin, I cannot agree more. This week is hot garbage. So I feel like it's unforgettable. I think that's going to be it. But
you said number three.
Oh, yes. Again, from Warner Brothers, 23,000 screens. And okay. We've got Katherine Heigl, Rosario Dawson. What do we... What do we think this is going to do in the box office? Oh, this is going to be sad. All right.
I didn't number, but I'm like, I don't know.
All right. This looks
But this kind of throws off my number two, but that's okay. We're going to ignore that.
I got mine.
All right. All right, I've got mine. All right. Neil, what have you got, sir?
I'm going to say 6.5.
Oh, my gosh. All right. I jumped high. All right, Carrie Lane.
Me too. Wait.
Yes. Ah!
I said 12. He said 11.
Oh, man.
We're a little off today.
Yes.
What we got last time? Where's this?
You know, you were gone having fun last weekend. We gotta get, we're getting back in sync.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. So somebody's going to be seeing this. Oh, man. All right. I feel I might be in the middle spot. I could have the safety spot. I don't know. It all depends on how this does.
It'll be like 9.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, God. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of Box Office Breakdown. But the fun doesn't stop here. It just gets started.
Yeah.
Of course, you can always like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And if you're watching this later, Carrie, what can they do?
Well, they can give a thumbs up to the video and comment down below to let us know your predictions on what movies, what order it will be for next week, and how much they'll make.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of them, any of them, doesn't matter. We're just curious.
How excited you are for Unforgettable.
Yeah.
And if you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, Carrie Lane, where can they find you?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carrie D. Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E. And Facebook at Carrie Lane Actor.
And Neil, where can they find you, sir?
You guys can get me at the Neil Plumley. That's T-H-E-N-E-I-L-P-L. P-L-U-M-L-E-Y. I'm having a hard time just spelling my name tonight.
It's okay, Neil. It's okay. It's okay. All right, buddy. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at HappyGoJackie, folks. We'll see you again next Sunday night for another hot episode of Box Office Breakdown. Woo! Oh, wait. Oh, Alvin, 11.5 for Unforgettable. Oh, all right. I like what you're thinking.
10.5 by For Sky.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.